Welcome to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Over the years, I've helped people lower their cholesterol, work with depression, help treat cancer, and just completely transform their lives through nutrition. At Passionate Nutrition, we really believe 100% in the power of food as medicine and how to change our lives with food. So this is a call-in show. I'll give you our number. It's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. And for those of you that listened last week, we've really changed the format of the show. Previously, we've had guests each week, and we've had a particular topic that that we discussed, and people could call in. But what we've done now is we've changed the show, so now it's a call-in show. And I think this is perfect timing, because as of September 1st, my schedule of seeing clients has reduced dramatically. I'm seeing very few clients, and actually, I haven't been taking new clients for quite some time. I mean, that's actually been going on for a long time at this point. So, you know, this is a great opportunity for those of you that want to speak directly with me. This is the opportunity to do that and to call into the show. And I guess to start off, until we do have some callers, I'll start with talking about digestion. You know, digestion is a huge component out of our health. And when we think about any traditional form of medicine, where it's Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine, any old form of medicine that we have, whenever somebody comes in, whether it's for a rash, a headache, you know, whatever it might be, you always look at digestion first. And when our digestion is off, this means everything about our health can really be off, because our body is made up of the food that we're eating. And if what we're eating isn't able to be digested and absorbed, then we can't get the nutrients from the food. And therefore, you know, our body can't heal and repair itself. Because whether we're talking about our organs, our skin, whatever it is, digestion is the foundation of that. You know, food is what's making up our body. And I know this firsthand. I know I mentioned last week that I had a little bit of a turbulent upbringing. And, you know, a consequence of that was that I had some pretty severe digestive issues as throughout my childhood, but then also as an adult. Now, at this point, I can eat and digest anything, but there was a point in time where I could eat about 11 foods, and if I did eat them, I would, you know, if I branched outside of that, I would blow up like a balloon. I would be in a lot of pain. You know, in my early 20s, I had colonoscopies and endoscopies. I've had numerous parasites, just a lot of digestive issues over the years. And the interesting thing about that is that when we have digestive issues, it really can have a ripple effect into the rest of our lives, you know, because food is what people tend to gather around. That's a way that people are social. You know, it's whenever you have a get together, there's food involved. So it can be actually really isolating to have those kinds of digestive issues and to have so much pain with food. And there's a lot of things that we can do to help heal and repair our digestive system. You know, I would say that probably a big culprit of my digestive woes was the parasites that I had, and also just a lot of living out of food banks, not really knowing. You know, I didn't realize that vegetables, you could eat vegetables that weren't from a can until I was probably an adult. So, you know, just a lot of poor quality food and not getting enough nutrition, that I believe led to a lot of my woes in addition to the parasites. So, but the interesting thing is that at this point now, you know, let's fast forward 20 years. At this point, I'm healthier than I was in my early 20s. So it's very possible to change our digestive system and therefore change our health. And currently I'm working on a digestion book. And I think it's because I do believe it's such a foundational component to our overall health. Now, one of the things that there's been a lot of press about, or there's been a lot of media attention regarding, is the bacteria that are in our digestive system. And these bacteria, they're called probiotics. And the amazing thing is that our bacteria outnumber our cells by about 10 times. You know, so if we're thinking about our body, we're actually much more bacteria than we are cells, which is kind of an interesting concept. Well, these bacteria in many ways are running the show. And in fact, it seems like the more and more I learn about our body and how it works and these bacteria, sometimes I start to think that we're much more of a host than anything. And I see how much power these bacteria actually play, even in terms of cravings. You know, we might be somebody that thinks, oh, I just have a really strong sweet tooth. You know, I'm somebody that just can't stay away from sugar. And we blame it on willpower, when really what could be going on is that we have an imbalance of bacteria in our body. You know, our gut doesn't have the bacteria that it needs, and therefore we crave a lot of sugar. You know, but that's one of those things that we would think of as more a part of our personality, as a part of who we are, when really that could be just symptomatic of our bacteria populations. And in fact, this week, earlier in the week, I read this amazing article. There's a Passionate Nutrition Facebook page, and really I'm not much of a Facebook person, but I use that site whenever I come across an interesting article. That's usually where I post it. So I did post this article on the site, and it was discussing that psychiatry of the future will probably deal more with our gut than it will medications. And it was talking about how there are psychiatrists that are already moving in this direction. And I know there's actually a wonderful psychiatrist in Mill Creek that refers to us really regularly for this exact purpose. But the bacteria of our gut, you know, makes up about 95% of our serotonin for our brain. And serotonin is what we think of that helps us to feel happy. It helps us to feel better. And when we don't have enough gut bacteria, we're not producing serotonin in the same way. So therefore, I mean, if we're just looking at our brain, neurotransmitters, how it all functions, you know, how could we not be down and need antidepressants, or maybe this leads to anxiety? So working on our gut bacteria can actually have a big difference, not only in our overall health, but also in our mental and our emotional well-being in terms of anxiety, depression, insomnia. And the great thing about increasing this bacteria is that there's no downside. You know, there's no side effects that are negative. Well, I should backtrack. I can't say that absolutely, because there are people with very sensitive digestive systems, and they might need to start these foods slowly. Not to say that they would be problematic for them. However, you can't just jump right in if you have a really sensitive system. And what I'm referring to with these bacteria are probiotic foods. And the grocery store shelves are just exploding with these foods right now. If you go to a natural food store, there's a lot of fermented vegetables that are on the shelves in different varieties. So the traditional forms that we tend to know about are kimchi or sauerkraut in terms of fermented vegetables. However, now there's fermented carrots, or there's wonderful pickles that you can buy that are fermented. The big tip-off is that it comes from the refrigerator section. If it's coming from the refrigerator section, then that's a sign that it hasn't been pasteurized, and so it's going to be loaded with the beneficial bacteria, these probiotics that we're talking about. So you want to buy it from the refrigerator section, and then the other key is you don't want to heat them. You know, if you heat them, you would actually kill off the bacteria that we're looking for. So you can have them with warm foods. Like, one of my favorite breakfasts is to have a piece of toast, you know, that I make really crisp, and then I'll usually put some mayonnaise on there, kimchi, and then on top of the kimchi, I'll put a fried egg, but I don't put it on directly. I'll let it cool just a touch, and then I'll put a slice of Havarti cheese and put it under the toaster, and that's a delicious breakfast, and really it takes about 5 minutes. But that's a way of incorporating kimchi along with an egg and cheese and toast and mayonnaise, things I love, and the flavors go really nicely together. So even though the kimchi is being heated, you know, it's not heated enough that it actually kills off the bacteria, because it's just the fried egg put on top is not too hot at that point, and I'm just putting it under the broiler enough to melt the cheese. So you can have these fermented foods with hot foods. You just can't heat them too much. And a way to know if it's too hot is, for example, if you're making a pot of soup and you want to add miso, which is a fermented food that has these probiotics, these bacteria that we're talking about in it, you know, you can flavor your soup with some miso, even if it's a carrot squash soup that you've made. And you need a little bit more salt, and you want more depth to the soup, just stir in a spoonful of miso. But just make sure that when you add the miso, that the soup isn't so hot that you can't put your finger in it. That's the big indicator. Make sure you can put your finger in it, and then that means that it's not too hot. And I mentioned pickles. You know, there are fermented pickles that you can buy. They would, once again, be in the refrigerator section. And those are things you can add to a sandwich as you normally would. Or, you know, you can just eat a pickle. Other foods that are fermented that maybe you've heard about as well, these are more popular. Yogurt would be one. Yogurt is probably lowest on the totem pole. You know, it has a lot of marketing behind it. That's the one that we tend to think of. You know, people say, oh, I took a round of antibiotics, so I'm going to eat a bunch of yogurt. Well, that's great. But these other foods that we're talking about are much more powerful. So we've got yogurt. And then lastly, kefir, which I know we've talked quite a bit about kefir on the show. Kefir is a fermented dairy product. It's more like a drinkable yogurt, although it's different types of bacteria that make the kefir. And it can come in flavors. It can be plain. You'll find that in the refrigerator section near the yogurt. And everybody has different tastes. Some people really like the fermented vegetables. Some people, kefir works really well. The big goal is that you find some type of probiotic food that works for you. And it doesn't require very much. If we're talking about fermented vegetables, you know, a couple tablespoons to a quarter cup. If you're talking about kefir, having a glass of kefir. The goal is just getting these foods into our diet on a regular basis. That's the important component. You know, the frequency of getting this bacteria in. So I'll give out our call-in number again. It's 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. And once again, this is, we've transitioned and now it's more of a call-in show. So please call in with your questions throughout the show. And it's time for us to take a quick break. So stay tuned and I'll continue talking about digestion until we do have someone that calls in. Thank you.
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you want to have more energy and improve your health? Well, now you can do it all, and it may be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition can help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle, one that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist and your host on Passionate Nutrition Radio, Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC TV's Nightline. Jennifer has designed a breakthrough concept in nutrition and health nutrition counseling that creates a safe, custom-tailored success plan using fresh foods in easy-to-prepare tasty meals. No gimmicks or expensive supplements. Follow-up sessions help your long-term success. 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans. For affordable and realistic health and safe weight loss, go to PassionateNutrition.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauly. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk, 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauly, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hi, I'm Martha Childress with the Natural Choice Network. Join us every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite leaders from our sustainable community to share their unique visions and valuable insights. You'll learn great tools to make your life greener, healthier, and more sustainable for generations to come. Thank you for making the natural choice. That's the Natural Choice Network every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Please join us.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. And once again, this is a call-in show, so please feel free to call in with any nutrition questions that you may have throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW, and that's 5569. And just as a reminder, this is the place where I will be answering questions, anything that you have nutrition-related. I love getting calls because it makes it interesting, and you know, it's nice to hear the questions that you do have out there. So please feel free to call in throughout the show so that we can get those nutrition questions answered. Because I know it's one of those topics. We get bombarded with nutrition information. And the amazing thing is everybody has an opinion about nutrition. Whether it's looking in magazines or on TV, your next door neighbor, a coworker, you know, this is something, it's very interesting how our culture views nutrition and that there's a belief that we all know about nutrition. But what I find so frequently when I hear the types of information that's getting dispensed, you know, there's not always a lot of accuracy with it. And while it is true, everybody has a different body and everybody has different needs, there's information that may be given that it makes it sound like, you know, this worked for me, so therefore it's going to work for everyone, when that might not actually be the case. Everybody has a different body. So what works for your neighbor isn't necessarily going to work for you. And there's just a lot of information that is out there that I would just completely disagree with. So that's why this is a good opportunity to call in. So now let's go to Margie in Seattle. Margie, thank you for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio.
Are you asking? This is Margie.
Hi, Margie. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I was just wondering if I had some kind of a bacteria in my system. I'm kind of weak. I mean, I don't have any energy. I did have some stomach problems. That went away, and so it left me kind of weak and no energy. Now, what do you suggest for that?
So it sounds like you're feeling low energy. That's the main situation?
Yeah, very low energy. I'm eating an oatmeal and two eggs and Metamucil for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have the energy or stamina to walk even a mile. I used to walk 2 miles a day.
Well, I can give you my input from a nutritional standpoint. There may be other components going on that,
mm-hmm.
that would be something that you would work with your doctor. But let's look at it from a nutrition standpoint. So for breakfast, it sounds like oatmeal and then two eggs. And then let's go through the rest of the day, what you're typically eating, like yesterday as an example.
Well, I'll have lunch shortly, and I'll probably have some split pea soup, crackers. I don't know, whatever I have ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm wheat intolerant, what do they call that?
And then how about after the split pea soup and crackers, what would be the next thing you would typically eat?
Oh, probably a piece of meat
mm-hmm.
or a salad, green salad, and cantaloupe, cottage cheese.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Margie, one of the things I really like when I listen to what you're eating is that you have a very strong focus on protein.
Very, yes. I don't eat sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tolerate sweets. I just don't like it, and I don't drink coffee.
Right.
And so I don't like sweets, no. So protein has always been, I have protein. I don't know why that is, but I need protein, like eggs and meat.
Yeah, and it also sounds like you're eating frequently throughout the day, too.
Not frequently. No, I'm eating every 3-4 hours now. I haven't eaten lunch, and I've had breakfast at 8:30.
Okay. Those would be things, whenever I hear about low energy, some of the things I think about are adequate protein, which it sounds like you're doing, and also making sure that we're eating frequently throughout the day. Like every 3-4 hours, for most people, can be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I probably don't eat that frequently.
Okay.
I probably should. I have a feeling I should.
Well, and that could be part of it. You know, one thing that happens in our culture, especially in the Puget Sound area, is that we might be having issues, whether it's low energy or something's going on. We might be having pain. And one of the things that we jump to is that we might be sensitive to a particular food. Like, I know you mentioned wheat. Mm-hmm. And while that can be true for many people, I think it's nice to do a little problem solving where we can look at other things that can be contributing to feeling so tired
mm-hmm.
before we take anything out.
Not so tired as I am weak.
Weak.
Mm-hmm. No energy.
And so let me ask you a couple other questions. So
mm-hmm.
after you eat, is that when you feel weak and tired, or is it more just all the time?
More all the time.
Okay. Okay. So one of the things that would come to mind is also including maybe more food throughout the day.
More food?
Does your intuition tell you that you're getting enough?
Probably not the right kind of food. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I need vitamins. I take a C in the after breakfast
mm-hmm.
and a good multivitamin.
Right. So it could be that you do need more vitamins. So it might be eating more frequently throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep your blood sugar up. Like making sure you might want to experiment with eating about every 3 hours
mm-hmm.
and see what happens then. You know, it's easy to get busy or to get distracted doing other things and forget to eat. And so I would try that. And then...
Should I eat rice crackers or...
You know, I wouldn't necessarily go for rice crackers.
You wouldn't?
Something like that. You know, if we're trying to get your energy level up, that's a food that it provides nice crunch. You know, it's convenient, but it doesn't really give us a lot. You mm-hmm. know, it's not like rice crackers are loaded with vitamins and minerals mm-hmm. and things that are going to give us a lot of energy.
What would give me energy?
So... I think getting more color in your diet. You know, you've got really nice protein, but I wonder about your vitamins and your minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that has a deep, dark color. For example, getting things like beets.
Like a pickled beet?
Sure, pickled beets would be fabulous. Now, if you were going to have a rice cracker, maybe it's a rice cracker with some pickled beets and a little goat cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be one thing you could do as a snack.
Mm-hmm.
But think of color. You know, think kale or chard.
How about spinach?
Spinach, mm-hmm. that would be great too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want foods, if you're looking for vitality, you know, if you're feeling weak,
mm-hmm.
then we want to have foods that have a lot of vitality to them. You know, that have a lot that they're offering.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to tell the vitality of food is by the color.
Really?
Yeah. So think about deep, rich, dark colors. And I would even though it sounds like a strange thing, I would just think of, like the energy of the food. You know, if something that's growing and has this deep, bright color,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's something that has a lot of energy to it, and that's what we want.
Probably don't get enough exercise either. Sometimes I do aerobic for.
Well, that could be, but I also, if you're feeling weak, like mm-hmm. you mentioned, even walking a mile was difficult.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I walk, probably.
So,
fourth of a mile.
You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up and we think, oh, I should be doing more exercise, but I can understand why you're not. If you're feeling weak,
yeah,
then that wouldn't be motivating to exercise.
But a little of it would be good.
Right. So I would take those two things. So I would think about eating more frequently throughout the day and think about getting a lot more color into
mm-hmm.
your life. Think about foods that have a lot of vitality to them, and maybe think of vitality like a lot of color
mm-hmm.
in your diet. And then we'll see how that goes.
Well, very good. Do you recommend going to the Bastyr Clinic?
To the Bastyr Clinic? Well, that's something you can definitely do. You could go to the Bastyr Clinic. I teach at Bastyr.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's definitely a nice option. I mean, another thing you can do, you can visit us at Passionate Nutrition. We have now 11 locations, so, and we're covered by most insurance companies. So just find what feels like the best fit for you. But that could be a good idea.
Where are you located?
Well, we have a lot of different locations. Our most recent are Redmond and Issaquah, but we also have, let's see, you're calling from Seattle, so we have Shoreline and Ballard and Fremont, downtown Seattle.
Yeah, Ballard would be good.
Ballard?
Fremont.
Okay.
Are you there too?
Yes, we're in Fremont as well. So you could go to our website, passionatenutrition.com, or you could give us a call too. So.
And give me your number again, please.
The business number is 206-595-0376.
0376?
Yes.
206?
206.
Yes. 395.
595.
Oh, 595.
Thank you so much for calling, Margie.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, so now let's go to Lisa in Bremerton. Thank you for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Jennifer.
Thank you for calling.
Welcome. Okay, I've got a question for about trace minerals.
Mm-hmm.
So I started using them in my diet. It makes my stool loose. So can you address that?
It makes your stool loose. So I'm guessing that you're taking trace minerals in the form of a supplement?
That and drops.
In drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have different approaches to nutrition. And I mean, I love that you're thinking about trace minerals and getting those in, because minerals are definitely something that as Americans, we tend to not get enough of. Now, my personal, or I shouldn't just say my personal, at Passionate Nutrition, what we really focus on is food and getting minerals through a food form, because it seems like that is the most gentle way, you know, it's for our body to handle those minerals. It's in a way that our body recognizes it and understands it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting loose stools from trace minerals in a supplement form, what I would do is I would switch to trace minerals in a food form and see what happens. And what I mean by that, you know, trace minerals in a food form is really to start to add foods in your life that have a lot of trace minerals naturally. Now, most of our foods at the grocery store really aren't going to have those trace minerals. I mean, sure, there's some. But it's going to be things like seaweed. You know, seaweed or wild foods. You know, like on the show, we've talked before about nettle. Are you familiar with nettle?
Yeah.
Okay. Nettle would be great. But also, the amazing thing is, when you walk outside of your house, most of what you're looking at next to the sidewalk, you know, in your yard, most of that is actually food that you can eat. And I know that probably sounds crazy, but these foods, the wild foods that we're having, the nice thing about them is that they haven't been hybridized over the years. You know, where their nutrition has actually gone down. But let me ask you another question before we keep talking about it. So why are you taking trace minerals to begin with? Is there something going on?
No, I was doing a detox, and it recommended trace minerals to support the digestive tract.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay, so you were doing a detox. And the nice thing, too, is the foods that tend to have a lot of trace minerals in them tend to also be really helpful for detox. You know, they have the nutrients in them that can help our liver go through phase one and phase two detox. So they can be really effective. So you get the benefits of the detox as well as the trace minerals.
Okay.
And I should back up. The reason I mentioned that a lot of our foods that are in the grocery store, why they don't have these trace minerals, is just that our food has been hybridized over hundreds of years to be bred so that they're sweeter. And when foods are sweeter, they tend to be less bitter, and they tend to have actually lower levels of nutrients.
Right.
So, I mean, this goes back really far. So this is when, you know, a farmer would grow a crop of a particular food, you know, carrots, for example. You know, and the farmer would taste a carrot and say, wow, this is much sweeter than the other carrots. Let's save these seeds. So then the next year, the farmer would use those seeds. And then of that crop, the farmer would taste another carrot and say, wow, this is even the sweetest of this bunch. Let's keep those seeds. So you can see how over time, the seeds that have been saved and used over and over again favor sweetness. And so we have less bitterness in our food. And that tends to be where actually we get a lot of nutrition, like minerals, is in foods that are a little bit more bitter or more of these wild foods. So I would add that. I would, do you have seaweed?
Yeah, I was on your seaweed trip.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was. I have a lot of seaweed.
Oh, well, that's great. So I would start adding this seaweed into your life because I think that's a great way to get a lot of minerals.
Okay.
Did you do the wild foraging portion as well?
I did not, no.
Okay, but still... Okay, so what I would do, so you're already a fan of seaweed, which I love. I would start adding that to all of your food. And I'll share with our listeners. So what Lisa did was she harvested a bunch of seaweed. And one of the things we talked about on the trip is then grinding it into a powder. So then you can take this powder and you can add it, you know, just keep it in a dish on the stove. And then add it to about anything you're cooking, whether it's a soup, you know, whether it's eggs, whether it's brownies. You know, add it to, you know, just open up all the condiment jars in the refrigerator and put a spoonful of seaweed in there. But the other thing, Lisa, that I would do is I would use nettle to get trace minerals.
Okay.
And even though wild foods in general would be great for this, nettle is something you can get at the grocery store, and it's very user-friendly.
Okay, in the dried bulk section?
Right, in the dried bulk section. So it'll typically be sold where the spices or the teas are. Mm-hmm. And then I would go ahead, you can add it to food, but I would also make an infusion out of it.
Okay.
So where you take about a cup of nettle and put it in 32 ounces of water. And this doesn't have to be exact by any means. But then you let it steep overnight, anywhere from 4 to 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you strain it and drink it. And you can add whatever flavor you want to the nettle. You can add mint, you know, you could add honey and cream. You know, you could steep it with orange spice tea bags as well. Do whatever you need to make it taste the way you like it.
Okay, that sounds good.
But
and
also,
then I have, yep, you.
I was just going to say that nettle, it tastes more like a grassy green tea. I mean, if I were going to try to describe it, that'd be more what it would be like.
Right.
And then what were you going to say? Did you have another question?
Yeah, just about water kefir. Can you address that? I just found out about that a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the idea of water kefir because it's another fermented food that's out there. And at the same time, just personally, I tend to hold to a lot of traditional foods. You know, that's more where my philosophy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So I still, even though water kefir, I think it's interesting and it's great, I really like using the dairy kefir because that's what people have been using throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with the dairy kefir grains, is that what you're doing? Are you making it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an interesting thing, even if you have the dairy kefir grains, you can use those in juice. You know, you can add it to coconut milk.
Mm-hmm.
You can rotate the liquids that you add it into. Like even juice, I mean, you could buy a jar of juice at the grocery store, pop in some kefir grains, put the lid on, you know, let it sit on the counter for a couple of days, and voila, you have fermented juice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have children... That tends to go over really well. That's a nice way for them to get fermented foods.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Does that answer your question about the kefir?
It does, yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, and thank you so much for calling, Lisa.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Bye. All right, so I'll give you our call-in number again, and then we're going to take a quick break. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you, and stay tuned.
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you want to have more energy and improve your health? Well, now you can do it all, and it may be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition can help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle, one that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist and your host on Passionate Nutrition Radio, Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC-TV's Nightline. Jennifer has designed a breakthrough concept in nutrition and health, nutrition counseling that creates a safe, custom-tailored success plan using fresh foods and easy-to-prepare tasty meals. No gimmicks or expensive supplements. Follow-up sessions help your long-term success. 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans. For affordable and realistic health and safe weight loss, go to PassionateNutrition.com.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
We live in a world that's become predictable.
Our realities are filled with distractions, hopelessness, and confusion. We've begun to lose touch of what we're truly capable of. It's time for us to regain our true potential. Join psychic medium and crystal child Lindsay Paul as she connects to the other side and brings back messages from beyond, along with her psychic and skeptic Abraham DeWeese and indigo child Sarah Ellis. They'll help you soar to new heights by answering your questions. Don't miss Wisdom Within Radio, Thursdays at 1 p.m.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. And this is a call-in show. We're having Q&A, so any nutrition questions that you have, please feel free to call in, and I'll give you our call-in number again. It's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. And, you know, in terms of the last caller that asked about water kefir, you know, water kefir is, or kefir, is a way of fermenting traditionally dairy products. But there are grains that make it where you can actually kefir sugar water or just water instead. And so it's basically, what is water kefir? It's a type of fermented food that you can have. And I guess that what we were talking about, it's a nice option, and especially if somebody is lactose intolerant or they want to use other types of grains, that can definitely be one. So let's go to Suzanne in Kirkland. Thank you for calling Passion Nutrition Radio. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. Just wanted to know, if I'm allergic to dairy products, can I still have kefir?
That's a great question. Now, when you're allergic to dairy products, do you know if you're allergic to the lactose or the casein by chance?
No, just anything that's dairy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when we're allergic to dairy or when we're sensitive to dairy, it's usually one of two things that we're reacting to. One, it could be the lactose, which is the sugar that's in the dairy products. Now, if that's the case, something like kefir is 99% lactose-free. So most people can actually tolerate kefir, and it's no problem for them.
Okay.
That would also be true if you were okay with hard cheeses. You know, if you had a really hard cheese, something that if you hit it against the counter, it would make a noise, like a Parmesan.
Okay. Right.
Or Asiago, something like that that's really hard. that's been aged a long time, that will also be almost lactose-free. I mean, very, very little lactose in there.
Okay, great.
So you could probably have those. Now, if it is something like casein, which is the proteins in the dairy, then you would still react. So the thing to do, I mean, if this was something you were interested in, is you could try it.
Okay.
What kind of a reaction do you get when you have dairy?
I get bloated.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how soon do you know after you eat it?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Half an hour, an hour later. Just don't feel right.
Okay. Then this could be something that you could experiment with. And do you know if you've had that same reaction, if you've had kefir or if you've had hard cheese? Have you noticed?
No, I've not had a reaction to hard cheese. Mm-hmm. Mostly just milk products, ice cream, and yogurt and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so if you're not reacting to hard cheese, then I would give it a try.
Okay.
Because it's likely that it's more of a lactose issue, and the more you can expand your diet and not have to take foods out, it seems like the better. And
right.
So if there's certain types of dairy that work for you, then, you know, it just gives you more options.
Right. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And in terms of the ice cream, do you have a nice alternative that you like since it causes you bloating?
No, I don't.
Well, my favorite is Coconut Bliss. Have you tried that one?
Oh, right. Coconut Bliss?
Bliss.
Is that a kind of ice cream?
Yeah, that's the brand. And
oh, no, I haven't.
You can find it at natural food stores. They carry it, like PCC.
Right.
And actually, recently, I found it at Grocery Outlet. So there's other places that have Coconut Bliss. But I find that that's my favorite because it has a nice creaminess to it, whereas some of the other alternatives, whether it's Rice Dream or others that are dairy-free, they don't have that same creamy satisfaction that I'm looking for with ice cream.
Right. I noticed that. Okay, those are good suggestions, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling. And any other questions that you have related to nutrition or alternatives to dairy?
Can't think of anything right now, but thank you very much.
Yes.
That helps a lot.
Thank you for calling, Suzanne.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. So one of the things that Eric and I were talking about during the break is that there has been a salmonella breakout in spices that's been in the news recently. And there's been some question as to whether we're just very sensitive. You know, if this is something that we should be reacting to, is this contamination of salmonella in spices that we're getting from, that are imported from other countries where the regulations are a little bit more lax in terms of when foods are imported. And an interesting thing, going back to our original discussion related to digestion, is that if we have very strong digestion, you know, if our digestion is working well, you know, we have lots of great gut bacteria, we've got plenty of hydrochloric acid, which is what our stomach produces to break down and digest our food. You know, if we have those things, then really we should be fine. Even when we come in contact with something like salmonella, or we come in contact with a parasite, you know, this our gut bacteria as well as the hydrochloric acid in our stomach should be able to kill these things off if it's really robust. This can be why, you know, two people eat the same food may be contaminated or affected, and one person has a parasite or gets really sick and the other person doesn't. Now, sure, there can be differing levels of contamination in the food, and maybe one person had more than the other. Although another component can be that one person's digestive system is very strong, while the other person's isn't. And so getting enough bacteria, as well as having enough hydrochloric acid, is a way to do that. And I'll just mention, I know at the beginning, I discussed how my digestion was really off. You know, when I was younger and I had so many diagnoses and just a lot of digestive issues. And I did a lot of work, you know, to really heal, repair, get my digestive system strong again, so much so that I went to India for 3 months and I didn't get sick. Now, going to India for 3 months and not getting sick is pretty unheard of. Now, it is true I was very careful. I mean, now I'm pretty savvy in how to avoid getting parasites, so I was incredibly careful about my water, you know, not eating any fruit that wasn't peeled in case it was washed in the water, only eating foods that were very hot. You know, food would get delivered and I would put my finger in it, and if it was hot enough to burn my finger, then I would eat it. So while I was very careful in terms of the food that I was having, you know, I still had packaged cookies or other things that could be potentially problematic. However, I didn't get sick. Now, I really attribute that to the changes that I had made in my digestive system, really working on getting it a lot stronger, beefing it up so that I could handle those exposures to things that my body wasn't used to. And so the more we can really work on our digestion, you know, the stronger we can be health-wise, but also we could reduce our risk. My concern is that the more we hear about contamination, whether it's spinach or spices, you know, we hear over and over about problems with our food supply. And my concern is that we're going to get more and more fearful of food, you know, where it's another thing that we're crossing off our list and we don't want to eat anymore. And so I would say instead of going down that route, because it would be unfortunate to cut out spinach from our life because of issues that we've had in the past, or to start to use less spices, which can be really anti-inflammatory. Instead of going that route, let's look at how can we enhance and really build up our digestive system so that we could potentially handle these foods. And even if there is some type of exposure, that we're strong enough to really fight it off. And this may be why, you know, we hear about the elderly or children, you know, people that are immune compromised, that they're the ones when there is an outbreak, those are the ones that tend to get, have the most reaction. And that might be, you know, that their digestive system is really weak because they're in a weakened state all around. So it's time for us to take another short break, and I'll give you our call-in number again. It's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569, and thank you for listening. Research shows that every parent's concerns about their kids' well-being, from good nutrition to obesity to achievements in school, can be drastically improved by simply eating and chatting around the dinner table. But with mealtime tantrums, conflicting schedules, force feedings, and short-order cooking, this task can seem daunting. Passionate Nutrition offers private consulting and individually tailored nutrition coaching that is often covered by insurance to help your children cultivate a healthy relationship with food that will set them up for lifelong healthy eating. Learn simple tips to nourish your children with balanced, creative, sustainable meal ideas. Our nutritionists can help clarify misinformation about food to reduce the anxiety surrounding meals so that families can connect at mealtimes instead of waging all-out war at the dinner table. For more information, go to PassionateNutrition.com.
There are lots of service agencies in the area that can get folks back on their feet with a job and a home, but they may go from that job to that home with no place to sleep except the floor. Hi, I'm Gary Shipe, and every week on Spotlight, we bring you compelling conversation with local leaders. This week, we talk with the Northwest Furniture Bank about their method of supplying not only the furniture needs of those on the rebound, but the hope and dignity needed to succeed with as well. Join me to learn more on Spotlight, Sunday mornings at 5 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, KKNW.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
It's a wide world. It's hard to get by, just
smile. Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. And I'm answering your questions from our call-in number, which is 425-373-5527. Now, in terms of digestion, the first caller that we have, she mentioned that one of her chief complaints was that she felt very weak and fatigued. And one of the questions that I asked her was, do you feel this more after you eat? You know, after you eat, do you feel more tired? Now, that's an important question, especially when we're looking at digestion, because if somebody does get tired right after eating, that's not a good sign. That can be an indicator of poor digestion, sluggish digestion, and there's actually a lot that can be done to help turn that around. There's many factors that contribute. However, just know that feeling tired after we eat is not a good sign. And this can mean that our digestion isn't as strong as it should be. Now, that's pretty individual. There's things that we can definitely talk about. And at the same time, that's probably where you would want to see a practitioner. Like, for example, you could see one of the nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition. And that's something that can be looked at in terms of what you're eating and if there are some changes that can be made where you feel a lot better. So digestion, it's a foundational piece and it's something to be incredibly thoughtful about. And there are some warning signs that we don't necessarily always pick up on. So, but instead of talking about that, I would love to go to Nancy in Bainbridge. Thank you so much for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Jennifer.
So thank you for calling.
Well, I have a question. I just recently got diagnosed the last couple of years with sarcoidosis, an autoimmune disease, and just wondering nutritionally what I could do to boost my immune system.
That's a great question. And, you know, actually, it ties in a bit with what I was talking about earlier today. One of the things that can be helpful, just knowing that snapshot, I mean, actually, it looks like you're calling from Bainbridge, and we do have an office on Bainbridge, so that could be worthwhile because there's a lot that you can do to help support your body through food with an autoimmune disease. But as far as our conversation right now, getting more of the probiotic foods can be really helpful. Our immune system is primarily in our gut. And if we think about it, it makes sense because that's the most vulnerable part of our body. You know, our skin, you know, it has it's a pretty tough membrane, even though it is permeable and we do absorb through our skin. But every day we're taking food in through our mouth and our digestive system has to discern whether something needs to be killed off. So whether something's friend or foe, essentially. So most of our immune system is actually around our gut. So getting more of the probiotic foods, getting more of that bacteria in your life can help, but also really enhancing your digestive system. You know, whenever we have an autoimmune condition, there's typically, if we start digging through the layers, there can be a strong digestive component. So making sure that we are digesting well, so that the food that we are eating is getting processed as it should, and so that our body isn't having an immune response to the food that we're eating.
Okay.
Now, with that, so I would really, the first step I would think about is focusing on digestion for an autoimmune condition. And then the next step is also thinking about getting a lot of nutrient density, so that, meaning foods that do have a lot to offer, so that your digestive system, I mean, excuse me, your immune system can have the building blocks that it needs to really do its job and be most effective. So
Great. I
know that's a little bit vague, but I just want you to know that actually with an autoimmune condition, there's a lot that you can do to help support your body with getting back on track. But I would start there with digestion.
Okay. That's great. And have you seen any kind of connection to food allergies or, and I've heard you today and you've been kind of veering away from elimination diets, but do you see any correlation to food allergies and getting a flare and an autoimmune disease?
Yes. Actually, there's many clients that we work with where it can really go hand in hand, that there's particular food. I mean, one... specifically, gluten can be a big one.
Sorry, what was that?
Gluten can be a big one.
Gluten,
especially
yeah.
in a lot of autoimmune conditions. And at the same time, regardless, you know, it's very nice to focus on really building up the digestive system. Because when we have an autoimmune condition, it can be that our digestion has been compromised for years. And that through this compromise over the years, it can lead to something bigger, like an autoimmune condition. That can be a big factor. So even though, you know, during the time of working with the condition, you do want to avoid those foods that can cause a flare-up. And Nancy, I would recommend also, I think coming in could be a great idea. And I've got to close because we're at time. So thank you so much for calling, Nancy.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. So thank you for everyone for listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. It's been, and I'm very appreciative of all of our callers today. I hope you have a wonderful long weekend and that you stay tuned for next week. And to find out more about Passionate Nutrition, go to our website, passionatenutrition.com. Thank you again.